Hey, I'm Loredana.
And I'm Christina.
And welcome to Spirit Says. Hi.
Hi. Hi, Christina. How are you?
I'm just...
I'm good. So here we are on podcast number three, right?
Number three. Absolutely. Having a good time here. Discussing
stuff. Yeah, we're thriving. I think I'm loving this. I do. I love that I get to talk to you every week.
Me too.
And because even though people be like, oh, they're friends, how come they don't talk? But we don't talk often because we are in fact so busy, which is funny because that's the theme of our podcast today.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just love that I get to like actually talk to you and spend time with you, even if it's just this way.
Yeah. You know? I mean, honestly, I'll tell you one thing. This is why I said, let's do a podcast, because I'm basically locking you down to having to spend time with me.
That's always a great way to keep friends and to make friends, is to lock them in.
Yeah.
And then stalk them and make sure that they show up. Yeah. No, it's perfect.
Make them think there's something in it for them.
Yeah. No, totally. And that'll be a podcast theme for a future podcast, I'm sure.
Yeah.
How to lure your friends or people that you want to be your friends.
I've done that a lot in my life. No, I'm just kidding. So, yeah, the topic today is busy, as you already said. And I gotta say, like, I don't know. I'm so curious about how you feel about that topic, because
okay. I'm like, okay, I'll tell you.
All right, I want to know everything. You know, give it to me straight, girl, because I have an emotional reaction to the idea of busy, and I'm curious because I know you are a very well-organized person. You have your schedule, your routines that you like to do that help ground you, and yeah, like I would love to hear what some of those are.
Well, it's funny that you say time and all that, because so this is what I think, and I had to write it down because I wanted to get it out correctly. Mm-hmm. So busy for me, I wrote this one sentence I wrote the other day while I was sitting at the diner. I wrote, busy is avoidance in action. So I don't mean that every time someone is busy, but for the purpose of this podcast, I want to talk about the kind of busy that is unnecessary, because I feel like there's two busies. There's the unnecessary busy and the necessary busy. Even though the necessary busy can be organized in such a way that you don't feel overwhelmed by it, if one organizes themselves and time manages and doesn't place guilt on not being busy enough, or doesn't talk or doesn't ask for help when they need it, or that all things need to get done now, then yes, you will find yourself busy and stressed. Mm-hmm. So the kind of busy that I want to talk about today is the kind that we choose in order to not think or sit with ourselves and possibly sit with our feelings. So the kind of busy that I'm talking about is to avoid whatever's bothering us in order to stop feeling guilty. Mm-hmm. You know, that guilt of, if I'm not busy, I'm not productive. If I'm not productive at every moment of my life, then I'll never reach my goals, or people will think I'm lazy. So that's the kind of busy that I'm talking about. I never even thought about it as an emotional,
I felt like you just read my mind when I get into that place where I start to put all of the guilt on myself and the overwhelming feeling of everything just coming in my mind at one time, and then the feeling of just like, you have to accomplish this, and but then I also have to accomplish that. So,
right.
You know, what the emotional part happens to me is when I do overwhelm myself with all the things that I have to do by thinking of them. You know, I could be in a situation, I could be doing something, and then I could be thinking, well, what's the value of this compared to the other thing that I have to do? So like, even if I make a schedule for myself, I might look at the schedule and also be annoyed because that schedule took time out of my day to do other stuff.
My goodness. So even that like drives you crazy, just the
fun neurosis,
making the schedule part to not be
Yeah,
it's like a bad cycle. It's definitely a bad cycle. So what happens, do you even get done all the things that you want to get done, or do you just fall into this whole emotional thing where it's like, okay, well, I did all that and now it's over?
Well, here's the thing. I would say that when I was younger, I used to pursue acting. And if I can be busy in anything acting, it's fine. I am not having any kind of anxiety at all. I can accomplish all that. You know, I'm in my 20s back then, and I'm running around the city, you know, going from place to place, and it's good. And you get to also take those opportunities of acting in auditions or whatever. And in those situations, you're forced to be completely present anyway, because acting is focused on the other person. And then you could go out for a drink and have fun afterwards. So there was always room for fun, right? And acting was my craft. It was my creativity. And now it feels more like, because I'm not pursuing acting anymore, I'm pursuing more of a yoga-focused health and helping people type of lifestyle that, you know, of course, the yoga that I do for myself is great. And then sometimes you feel like you see yourself allowing the yoga that you do for yourself to take a back seat. And you have to remind yourself that there is a lot of stuff that you have to do in order to be capable to teach and to help people on their journey. You have to be taking care of your own journey too.
Right.
So, you know, I would say it's kind of funny because last year we had a, you know, a crazy year, 2020, and it did force me at least to slow down and to reflect and to actually go into some dark places mentally and just kind of scan and see what's going on there. And I feel like I came out of it, out of those dark places in a more positive way. So that was really good. And then more recently, when I started to get busy again, it's just kind of like, I started to realize that I wasn't taking care of myself when I started to get busy again. And I wasn't doing the things that I needed to do to make sure that I was doing before, just to take care of myself and to feel good in my body. And because, you know, the things that you think in your head actually affect your body. So sometimes we don't notice what's going on in our head, but we start to feel it in our body. It's because, you know, we're just going with our head and with our ego. And we're like, you know, but then we
start to feel that.
And then our body slows us down.
Right.
Yeah. So I had a bit of a, like an anxiety. I wanted to call it an anxiety attack. I think that the real cool thing is that I noticed what I was feeling, and I noticed that I was moving towards something that can be more harmful. So I kind of buckled down and said, okay, take the headphones off. You know, I was multitasking, right? I was doing two things at once. In one of them was yoga. The other one was listening to a podcast, my podcast, our podcast, just because of just hearing it. And I couldn't do the two things at once. And I realized,
because you need two completely different brains at that point. Like two different parts of your brain need to work. And it's the part of listening and being present to listen, and then the part of then needing to do the moves. Like, it's not like, for some reason, when you're listening to something and need to do yoga, it's not like when I say like listening to a podcast, it's different than listening to music. But like, I can never imagine putting on, like, I don't know, metal, like metal music while doing yoga. You can't, because you need like a softer to make you more grounded. So I can't even imagine you listening, especially to our podcast.
I'm sure they've come up with that. I've heard of crazier things.
But I'm just like, no wonder that you felt like, no wonder that you went into this state of panic.
I'm like, what you're saying is totally true. I think when I do my yoga practice, it comes from my heart. Even when I'm teaching sometimes, when I'm teaching, I feel that in my heart when I'm teaching, because it's like I'm flowing with everybody. But then at the same time, you know, sometimes I'll even make a mistake. And because I'm just so focused on, you know, just this connection, this, that we have all together rather than the mental words and stuff like that. So, you know, I can't walk and chew gum apparently, but
but I think, okay. So you went back and you said when you were acting in your 20s, you didn't feel like, and you were doing it all right at that point.
Art was my passion. I meant acting.
But it's an art, it's a form of art. But I think that that is the reason why you didn't feel busy, because when we're doing something that we love, that comes from the heart, it's not work. It's not busy. It's not productive. You know, it's who we're being our true selves. So we would never think of it as work or productive or not productive, busy or anything like that. There's that quote from, I posted it one time, Ian Thomas, and he writes, and every day the world will drag you by the hand yelling, this is important, and this is important, and this is important, and you need to worry about this, and this, and this. And each day it's up to you to yank your hand back, put it in on your heart, and say, no, this is what's important. And that's true, because you were acting, or when I'm writing, like, I'm not thinking, okay, I gotta produce all this stuff. I gotta be busy. I gotta, you know, like it flows naturally for us when we're doing our craft, and we never think of it as busy.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I will definitely say that I do have a passion for yoga too. It's just that one of the things is that for me, acting is a physical act, and so is doing yoga, but teaching it and thinking about blogging and doing the podcast and getting on the computer and going to your Instagram and posting and advertising, that's not my favorite part.
No, I know, that's the part, that's the stuff that comes with it. Yeah, no, I agree. Like for a long time, I made myself believe that I didn't, that I was just writing for me, and I wasn't doing it because it was annoying for me to hear that I had to post my stuff out there, or that I had to publish something, or had, you know, in order to mean something. But the reality is, that's, if I truly, for me, for my writing is to truly help other people. That's why I write. I write so that other people know that they're not alone in the things that they go through, because I've either gone through them or have experienced them. But if I don't get it out there, and if I don't use the tools that we have today, which is social media and blogging and whatever, publishing something, then I'll never get it out there. And I won't be doing the duty that I feel that was given to me, which is to use my gift for the greater good and to share it with other people. So yeah, it becomes a little work. But I also think we grew up in a generation where it's like, all this media stuff is so like, oh, because there's so many facets, right? Like there is a blogging, and then there's like even what we're doing now, like we're recording this and then we got to upload it and then we got to put it out there. It's just like, we need people, maybe we need assistance.
I actually don't even mind the uploading and everything. I don't even mind the creative part. What I don't like is being stuck on my computer, sending, you know, liking other people's stuff so that they'll like my you know. That to me is such a weird concept, and it's just, it is the way of the world right now, is that in order for you to share, you have to be on social media. And so that's one of the things that I, you know, sometimes I'll miss people's phone calls because I don't want to be, I don't have a ringer on my phone call that much. I don't have my ringer on that much because I don't want to be distracted when I'm reading or writing, you know, like, cause it's so, and I don't like to get the notifications, you know, you post something, you get the notifications, but you know, because I don't want to get notifications. And as soon as I pick up this phone, it is a, it's like a, like, I don't want to, I don't really, I don't want to use the term wrong, but down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. No, you definitely, it's like a prison. Like all of a sudden you're like, I'll answer this text. Oh, wait a minute. Let me just go on Instagram a second. Wait, you know what? Let me go on TikTok. Like all of a sudden it's just like 3 hours pass by and
I don't even know why I picked up the phone.
Yeah.
You know,
I hear you.
I'll pick up the phone okay, I got to send a text message or an email out. And then I'm like, wait, why did I pick up this phone? So I'm trying to literally, so I just decided recently that I'm just going to I'm going to think about what I need the phone for, write it down, and then pick up the phone.
Oh, that's so smart. That's so smart. It's so like, okay. You're funny to say that. So earlier today, I went to go drop off my daughter to school and you're right. I can't stand the notification dings. And I kept hearing these notifications come through and I was like, and I knew it was a notification from this one app called Slack. So it's like I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's like a community app where,
mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. So they kept coming through and all of a sudden it made me antsy. It made me that I needed to answer right now. And I couldn't wait the 5 minutes to get home. So I literally stopped my car on the side of the road just so I can answer.
Oh my God.
And just so I can write, I will write you back in a few minutes. I have to get home. I didn't have to do all that. I could have just drove home, but that's just the kind of things that we need to work on as people, right? Like, I mean, my mother would always say it all the time. She'd be like, who cares? Like, you don't have to answer the text right now. Like, you know, you wait. And it's so true. Like, why do we feel this need to always be busy?
Available.
Right? Yeah. I don't get it.
I feel like we're following a certain trend that is happening right now, honestly. Mm-hmm. Because, mm-hmm, I mean, I'll tell you, I live in a neighborhood, most beautiful people, most beautiful neighborhood, but they keep themselves busy to, mm-hmm, the point where I tell some of my friends, you know, you could say no to that project. You don't have to do it, you know? And I'm a person, I can't say yes to everything. I have to say to myself, what is the most important things that I need to focus on? Yeah. And, you know, I will focus on the charity of my choice, but I cannot focus on all charities. You know,
you're right. Yeah. You
know? I can't, yeah, you know, so I have to figure out what is the thing that really gets me, you know, riled up, you know, even though of course we care about a lot of stuff, but the one thing that you feel like you would like march for, you know what I mean? I'm like,
yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Because I think that's another thing you bring up a really good point. It's the yes attitude, right? Like just saying yes to everybody and all the things and putting everything else first. And I remember reading, cause I was very much that kind of person. I had a plate full of things. And I remember reading a quote that said, no is a full sentence. And I was like, oh, because I always felt guilty saying no. And so that in my no, I felt like I had to give a reason, right? I had to be like, no, I can't right now because, or no, I can't because. And it's like, no, it's a full sentence. Like, and if the other person cannot understand or gets mad at you, then I honestly just don't think they're your people. You know, like, you know, if somebody asks you something, I can't. No, that's it. And I, you know, it hurts at the beginning to do it, especially if you're a yes person. Mm-hmm. But you feel so much better because in the times I've said yes and I've given my time away to other things and other people that I didn't want to do, I would be angry at myself. I'd be pissed at myself. You know, all these like terrible, yeah, I guess it is emotional. All these terrible feelings would come over me and I would resent the person. It's a bad thing.
I mean, the word no is invigorating.
Yeah.
You can tell people no. I've said no to so many things the past, I guess, 3 years.
Yeah.
I just decided I'm going to do what feels good for me.
Mm-hmm.
And of course I do believe in taking care of people. I do believe in volunteering and not being, you know, at all about you. You know, I think you should not be selfish, but I think that, you know, that like just to be able to say, you know, I tried it, you know, I tried coaching basketball for my
daughter. Right. Oh, absolutely. Right. Right.
And I did it twice, and I love kids, but I will never coach basketball again.
No, I hear you, but you know, you're right, because it's like, you're not saying no to something because you're scared of it. You're saying no because you're at the cost of what? You're asking yourself, at the cost of what? At the cost of my family, at the cost of my time, at the cost of, you know, there are plenty of things that we say yes to.
Yeah,
exactly. At the cost of insanity. So it's just, there's just no reason for it. So yeah, you're right. No is definitely an invigorating word. And when you start saying it and you start using it and you start realizing how much it works in, you know, to benefit you, that's wonderful. And you know, like I said before, there are people that will be upset or feel like, well, why would you say no to me? But that's stuff that they need to figure out and work, you know, on their own. So it just is what it is. But you know, we have to, like, also, I mean, we do with our kids, right? We tell our kids no all the time. Without any real excuse. Sometimes it'd be like, because I said so, which is the worst sentence you could ever say. But just no. Sometimes I'll tell my daughter, I'll be like, no. Why not? No, it's just a no, you know, like if she's asking for something, no, it's just a full on no, like there's just nothing that comes after that.
Well, you're definitely really good at that with your daughter. And I sat there and I'd be like, oh, that worked, you know, that's like, for me, I like that what you said. No is a sentence. And I think I will say that to my daughter. No is a sentence. Just say that to her. No is a sentence. But I will say, I do spend, unfortunately, a lot of time going, thinking about how she feels. And I'm like,
I know, but we do that. We totally do that. Like, it's just, yeah, but I mean, yeah, because it's our kids, so we think like we feel like if we give them everything, then they'll be the happiest people in the world. But we both know very well that is not the case.
Yeah, I'm definitely not going to be like, Cadence is, my daughter's in the position where she's heard no, she understands no, she doesn't, you know, push it as much. If she's ever pushing anything, it's like stupid stuff, you know, like,
oh, of course.
It's not even like, it's more like the teacher asked, and she's really good in school, so this kind of bruised her ego a little bit. They were learning a new topic, and the teacher said, can you, these five people, you guys can come to a special class where just us five will go over the material again, this math stuff.
Yeah.
And, the teacher, whatever it is, Cadence was like, I understood it. And she's like, I'm not going. And I'm like, Cadence, like, I get how you're feeling right now.
Right.
But, you know, I think what you got to see is that you're going to benefit from having extra tutoring. It'll just be, you know, just see it as an opportunity to dig a little bit deeper into this subject. And you get to get really good at it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She was raising the roof between me and my husband. So it's things like that, you know. She's not a type of person, she understands no to, like, you know, purchases and stuff like that.
Yes, right.
But then eventually, I don't just say no right
away. Oh, absolutely not. It still sometimes will come with a reason. Like, you know, like you just said, purchases. Like, I'll be like, no, baby, that's too much. Like, that's too much money. Or, you know, no, baby, that's not what we came to the store for, you know? Or, no, you cannot wear that outfit to school, you know, like things like that. But getting back to busy and it being an avoidance to stuff going on in your life. Do you believe
that's very interesting. Also,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you believe that people stay busy to not stay quiet with themselves, or not, like, figure out their feelings, or even just sit with their feelings? Like, do they stay busy out of fear of the silence? That's what I mean.
That's a very interesting thing, because I will tell you, I don't know if I've ever been in that place, but I'm definitely not in that place now. And I do know people that I've seen people in that place, a lot of people in that place. And I feel like it's our job as the people around them seeing it to say, you know, you don't have to do that. You don't have to, you know, and why don't you do something for yourself? You know, why don't you, you know, but I will say, like, I'm trying not to get very specific about it, who the specific person is.
I hear it. I've got some specific people in my life I won't say. Hey, I can even bring myself into that. Years ago, I was the same way. So, I mean, I can talk about me, but yeah. Yeah.
They're not even like personal. They're not even like really in my life. They're friends, but they're more like, you know, they're not like family members or anything like that.
Right.
It's curious to me. I wonder to myself, what's going on there that you're busy and you're also stressed? Don't you question?
Right.
That, you know?
No, because I think we are as like humans brought up to believe that if we're not busy, then, you know, or stressed, then we're not, then what are you doing? It's almost like people will question you if you are, I feel like people question you more if you're calm and you're peaceful and you're just like, you know, relaxing, you know, like they, right? Like they question that more than why aren't you busy? Why aren't you, you know, moving around or shopping or whatever the busy is that you're doing. Like people will, like if for instance, the question is always this, right? You get a text message or you get a phone call and it's like, hey, what are you up to? Or hey, what's going on? Or, and it's like, what if you were to answer nothing? It's almost like the person on the other end would be like, nothing. What the hell is that person doing? What do you mean nothing? Like you could be doing this and this and this and this, you know, like we get questioned more on not doing anything or just chilling than, you know, than we do being stressed and busy.
And that
it's like something to talk about, right? Oh, well, what are you busy doing? I'm food shopping. Oh, what are you food shopping for? You know, it's almost like there's not like, instead of having the other kind of conversation where it's like, I'm not doing anything. I'm just, you know, sitting here in my thoughts and thinking about that time. Mm-hmm. Like we don't have those kinds of conversations often. It's always, what are we doing? What are we going to be doing? What did you do yesterday? You know, it's always.
I always feel out of the loop in those kind of conversations too. I feel like that's when I start to like sink back in my chair and be like, well, I can't add anything to this. You know, because I don't find it interesting to talk about shopping, to talk about the new thing,
right.
To talk about the car, to talk about, you know, insurance or the doctor. I'm not like it's so
that surface stuff for you, right? Like that surface conversation. Yeah. And I don't like surface conversation.
I know what it is. I just sit there and I go to myself, I don't know what, all right, maybe I should look into that. And then I don't.
And I'm not saying like, and it doesn't mean that like not everybody listening to this podcast and be like, well, then, you know, when I call so-and-so, I'll make sure to ask them about their life and their childhood. And it's like, no, we're not sitting having a deep conversation all the time, but this guilt of, we got to get rid of the guilt of being busy. And why are you guilty? Why do you feel guilty if you're not busy? Or why do you feel ashamed to say, I'm not busy. Are you afraid that somebody's going to ask you to do something you don't want to do? Then just say no. Like, you know, we could put this whole podcast into like a one big circle. But what are you avoiding? Like, I know a lot of people avoid stuff going on in themselves by being busy. I mean, they're literally busy from the moment they wake up to the moment they go to sleep. And I mean, and I'm just like, and I know for a fact that there's stuff going on in their lives. And I'm like, and then they question what's going on in their life. They question their emotional state. You know, they'll say to me, you know, I'm feeling like this and I'm feeling like that. And I will ask them, well, what are you doing about it? You know, and they're not really doing much except staying busy, you know, and they're, you know.
I feel like that when you get to that point, that's when God steps in and goes, okay, you need to slow down. Here's a cold. You know, I mean, not that God is like.
Oh, true. No. You know what? I like the way you said yes. Yes, I like that. Absolutely.
I feel like
something comes in to slow you down.
Yeah. I'm the type of person, I'm like, what's the lesson here? What is God trying to tell me? What is, what do I need to learn from this experience, you know? And I actually feel like it has helped me a lot along the way. Mm-hmm. Because I will say that last year was a crazy, I don't want to say be it lightly, interruption. It's not just an interruption, it was really, you know, a sad thing that happened to a lot of people. And you know, a lot of people are still suffering from what happened in 2020. But a part of me, and this is without sounding like a jerk, questions, is this, you know, a message from God?
Yeah, an awakening.
Slow down. Mm-hmm. There's too much. Mm-hmm. You don't need to have all that. You don't need to overdo things, you know, mm-hmm. overindulge, you know. I'll tell you, my husband is a huge computer person, a techie, you know.
Yeah.
For me, if I have the opportunity to be away from a computer or phone for a week or a month, yeah, baby, that's vacation for me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's happiness to me, is not, you know, having to be tied down to technology, because I feel like that is what is cluttering everybody's mind, and that they're not, you know, and you got to notice that feeling inside of you, you mm-hmm. know, especially if you can't breathe, you know, if you're like, I can't breathe, I feel everything's kind of stuck in my chest here, you know, that is because that pain that's there is actually information, your body sending you information that something needs to change. That's actually something that I learned when I was in massage therapy school too, you know, mm-hmm. a trigger point or a knot in your back that hurts is not the problem. The problem is the pain comes to tell you that there's a problem there. It's not the pain that's the problem.
Yeah.
That the pain is the signal that sends you.
It's so true.
You know?
Yeah. It's so true. But, that we definitely hold, you know, those that hold their emotions in can definitely, and for a long, if you hold them in for a long time or whatever, even not, even if you're just an aware person, your emotions will definitely come out in physical pains, you know, like that's, like you said, there's a reason, and you need to question that reason. Like, we'll immediately run to a doctor when mm-hmm. we feel the physical, right? And usually most doctors, you know, will try and band-aid the pain, but I think if the pain keeps coming back, the same dull pain keeps coming back, whether it's the chest pain or the back pain or the throat, you know, the sore throat or like the leg pain, like there is an emotion attached to that. There's a book called The Emotion Code. I forget what the doctor's name is that wrote it, but it's based on the movie E-Motion.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks all about how we hold our, you know, holding your emotions in and how they come out, you know, in your physical body.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like you said, like to me, when things like what happened in 2020 happened, at the beginning, I was definitely a little panicked. I was shocked. I was panicked because I had never, you know, obviously we've never lived through something like that. But I remember thinking, there's more to this. Okay. I got to take this quickly.
Okay. So one thing I wanted to tell you about, I know I called you and I checked in on you the other day because I wanted to see how you were feeling, because I was in a funny place. And mm-hmm. sometimes I feel like, you know, the world, we're all kind of on the same wavelength sometimes. Right. And so I wanted to check in on you, and I was hoping that I didn't scare you by telling you that I was just in a funny place. Because, you know, sometimes I remember there was that one week we talked about a couple weeks ago, and I was like, you know, this was not a good week. And you're like, this is not a good week for me either. And right. And I was like, wow, that's so crazy. If we would have reached out to each other, we could have just been there for each other. So that's the whole reason why I did that. But I did get, you know, like I was saying before, that feeling of, you know, I'm getting busy. I'm piling everything on my plate. I want to do everything in this one moment because I'm afraid, what if something doesn't get done?
Mm-hmm.
And I started to notice that. And, you know, anxiety started to creep in. So I took a pause and I said to myself, I looked at my husband and I said to him, I have to take a moment right now because I'm feeling these feelings and I'm going to go in the bedroom and I'm just going to be alone right now. So I went in the bedroom and I did, wrote down morning pages, you know, whatever it was, the afternoon, but 3 pages of just writing, stream of thought, and discovered a lot of stuff from that. Because honestly, I feel like doing morning pages is like talking to God, honestly, but from my experience, everybody's experience is different. But, and then you have an opportunity to reflect. And what I started to reflect on was that when I do get busy, I start to, like I, you know, what I just said, overwhelm myself with trying to accomplish everything, worrying what if something doesn't get done. And then I start to shut down like an overheated computer.
You know? Because you're thinking of all the things, right? That you that you have to still get done. So yeah, so of course you get overwhelmed and
I was grateful for the fact that with all the practices that I've done in my life, like, you know, I'm not some sort of enlightened being at this point, which is totally fine. I do want to be attached to the world. I want to be attached to my daughter, my husband, a cool pair of shoes I have over there. But I don't, you know, but I think about, you know, what's, I think, important in my journey and in my life. And one of the things that I noticed was that I had grown to have that self-awareness of looking at my thoughts and realizing that my thoughts were something that needed to be noticed and that I can reflect on how my thoughts are affecting my body. So I wrote it all out. I felt so much better. My husband and I hugged, I cried, it felt good. And then I moved on and started to decide to not be so hard on myself. And the one thing that I really learned was that I am just going to do one thing at a time.
Perfect. No, but it's good. It's good. You know, it's so funny because do you realize that as you've begun your spiritual practice, that you start to be able to heal and resolve quicker?
Yeah.
Then going into this long, deep hole of like what, like of despair, you know, like you were overwhelmed. You were like, I need a moment. I'm going to take a pause. I'm going to do the morning pages. I'm going to hug my like, you know, all this stuff that maybe you didn't know to do or, you know, late before in your life.
Well,
you know?
I actually start to appreciate the moments of when it feels like chaos, when it feels like, you know, depression or whatever. I don't feel like I am a person that likes to even admit that I would ever be depressed or anything like that. I think there was moments last year where I felt some stuff and I'm like, whoa, let's deep dive there. But I think when you do notice the anxiety, when you do notice the sadness, those are almost like gifts. They give you the opportunity to reflect and grow from it, you know?
Yes. Yes. And that's the thing. It's like you said, it's seeing it for that instead of seeing it for a stigma. Well, because we, you know, the world as a whole has always made, only now in recent years, you know, has made depression a stigma. You're depressed, it's a stigma. We don't talk about it. Anxiety, we don't talk about it. But we all, I mean, literally, you cannot tell me one person that will not go through it or has not gone through it in their lives. And I think, I think it's beautiful that we talk about it and that we get it out and that we don't, you know, I think the scariest part is to say, I'm depressed or I'm feeling panicked or I'm feeling anxious, because we have this theory that we have to always be happy and joyful and centered and, you know, but we get to those places. And that's another thing I want to bring up too, you know, just because we have a practice or we follow something or we believe in something does not mean we're not going to fall into anxiousness or, you know, depressions or whatever. It just means that we now have the tools. Like you have the tool, like you knew what to do for yourself the other day. We have the tools now to heal quicker, you know, and figure it out quicker. And I love, you're right, because now when the anxious thought or feeling comes up, it's so true. I no longer go down the rabbit hole of, oh my God, like I don't paralyze myself anymore. It's like you said, I think to myself, what is it trying to tell me? Mm-hmm. What is it that I'm doing in my life that I maybe shouldn't be doing? Or what is this thing telling me that I need to figure out, you know, what's the lesson? So yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
I felt like I really needed to dig into the tools that I use as a yoga person to, you know, what are the tools that I use, or just a person that practices in the more holistic or what's that thing, alternative medicine kind of way. Mm-hmm. So just to really like dig in, like get into the, make sure you don't skip a meditation because you need it. And you might get into the habit of not meditating for a week or whatever. Get into the habit of writing, doing the things that help, doing the things that work for you. You know, I'm not saying, like, I never think anybody should ever feel pressured to live up to a schedule that they placed for themselves. But I think that if you start to notice that there are tools that help you and keep you going towards the right place, then, you know, it's important to try to without being hard on yourself. You know,
but like, that's,
if you miss it, you miss it. No big deal.
Yes. Right. But you're right. That's a good kind of busy. Like, be busy on working on yourself, but don't be busy on unnecessary things. Yeah. Don't be busy on the unnecessary. Like if you're busy on the unnecessary, then I think you should definitely take a pause and figure out, why are you so busy? What is your reason? You know, and reach out. Listen, we have so many things now in the world. You don't have to go sit down with a therapist. Now they have these wonderful apps where if you feel uncomfortable talking to somebody, you know, there's apps. And as a matter of fact, maybe we'll put them down in our description for today's podcast, because I think that, you know, it's important. But I do like the idea of what you said, like when you find something that's working for you, when you find a routine that works for you, when it's meditation or yoga and you know, journaling and all that stuff, definitely stay busy in those things. But don't beat yourself up if you skip a day or two. You know, but that's the stuff that works. That's the busy that's necessary in your life.
Yeah. And also, I'm sorry, I got distracted because I'm like, are we recording? I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah, I see it. I see it on my side. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it says there in the left-hand corner. And I was gonna say, I'm like, what if, you know, when the thing pops in your head and you're like, what if? And I was gonna also say, if you want to, you know, another thing to do is just make a podcast, and it's like therapy. I'm just looking over these questions I wanted to ask you. Let's see. Of course, I told you I can't read and talk on a podcast at the same time. All right, let's see. What are you, Lori? I don't know what I wrote here. I don't know. I can't read. Can somebody read this? All right. But anyway, I think what my point was when I wrote this stuff was to ask, you know, what are some of the things that you do to actually chill yourself out when you start to feel pangs of anxiety or whatever you're feeling, that you're too busy? Is there anything that you do?
I will usually, you know, like what you did, I will usually shut everyone out. Like if I'm home and I'm feeling something, I'll usually go into like the room and I'll just stay quiet for a while. I will definitely journal. I love to journal at any time, only because I realize that I'm the kind of person, I'm sure many of us are, that we ruminate in our heads. Like we just can't continue.
Right.
So when I'm feeling something, I realize if I write it, it sounds so much better. First of all, I get it out and it just sounds so much better. So I definitely, I'll take the pause. But I also don't keep myself busy any longer. Like I let things go. Like I was a big, you know, like I was always cleaning. That was my form of busy, but that was my form of avoidance. My form of avoidance was to keep cleaning. The more, you know, like I had to clean. I don't know who I was cleaning for. I don't know if the queen was coming, but I was always cleaning. But now I've just let it go. Like, I'm like, it is what it is. Like, this is where I live, you know, whatever it is what it is. So I've definitely slowed down and I've definitely said no more often than yes.
My husband is like that with the cleaning too. He used to, you know, he used to get like worried when things have to be done or you know, whatever. And you know, now he has his routine. He sticks to his routine. Listen, he loves to do the dishes. He loves to cook. You know, that's right. A part of his routine. Okay. Jealous women. Yes. no. But, so yeah, am I lucky? I mean, I'm not really allowed to complain about him about anything because every woman is like, your husband cooks and cleans. Shut up, face. Like, oh, okay. Sure.
Oh my God. I turn the question to you. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's back to like checking out, you know, like writing, like you said, meditation, doing one of the meditations I'm doing right now is called So Hum. So I am that. So on the inhales, you say so. On the exhales, you say hum. And this is all in your head. I do love chanting. And I like to really get into my root chakra to make sure that my root chakra is, that I'm feeling grounded, that I'm using my root chakra, that I'm not in my head, but I'm down into, you know, the seat of the chakras. And that actually helps you feel more secure, more confident, because you're not stuck in your head and you can just relax. And then, you know, I like to do open heart stuff too, because you just want to be free at the same time. So
And you like to connect.
Yeah. And you know, I think everything is just a constant work in progress when it comes to mental health and just being aware, and it's okay, you know.
Yeah,
we're not perfect, end of story, you know.
Yeah.
it's a process, it's a practice.
But I think my big takeaway from today's podcast is like what you said, like there is a lesson in the things that happen or the things that you think are happening to you. You ask yourself, well, why, you know, what's that thing? There's a saying where it's like, why is this happening to me? And instead it you know, you think, well, it's happening for you, you know, like what's the lesson in it? What's the reason for it? So that's my big takeaway. My big takeaway is that, and then just like because I still do it sometimes, find myself busy, to take the pause and figure out what is it that I'm avoiding. Like for me, busy, it means I'm avoiding something. So what am I avoiding?
I'm avoiding being busy.
yeah, definitely. Listen, if you could avoid being busy, that's like, you've been healed. You've been healed. You have been enlightened. You have been awakened.
Yeah. Hey guys, I'm going to watch the Golden Girls now for 20 hours because.
But you can do that. Like that's, although you know what? No, I see what you're saying. Cause I know. Like, yeah. I see what you mean.
That's so funny. If we could just come to the middle, man.
But it's true. Like, you know, those freaking, that saying Netflix and chill, it's like sometimes I'm Netflixing and chilling for days and I'm like
Netflix and die.
What did you do here?
Just die on the couch right there.
It's like I melted into the couch.
Sometimes I've actually said in my head, F you Netflix, you know, for making it so easy.
As you're going through the, your queue to see what you're going to watch next.
Exactly. You bastard. Oh, that looks good.
awareness. Yes. What about you? What was your takeaway?
Yeah. My takeaway is, just keep learning, like you said, awareness, and just keep learning about yourself and learning how you can you know, get what you want to get done, but in a healthy way, you know.
Oh, like, that's perfect. Yes.
Yeah, that was it. That was perfect. And
no, I like that, in a healthy way, because yes, I like that. I like that, in a healthy way.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Here's one more thing. One more tip. If you have anybody that you know, if you need to take a moment away from being busy, it's great to actually spend time with somebody that you respect and you care about. And sometimes, even just with my daughter, even just sitting there and just really just getting into whatever the heck she's into, whether it's drawing or it's like, whether it's like, you know, she's 11. So whether it's like almost 11, Jesus, whether she's, you know, making fun of somebody, just really listening and connecting with her. You know, connecting on another person instead of connecting on yourself is another way that helps me feel more like, you know, feel better, feel more like myself even, and just enjoy.
I like that. I totally like that. And I totally agree with that, because children are always living in the now. Yeah. You know, they just are. So if we could take a cue from them or just connect with them, I like that. That'll definitely help the brain work better. Yeah.
Just even playing with them.
Yeah.
You know, my daughter teaches me how to draw her, her like, she draws girls. That sounds so weird. She draws pictures of girls, and she teaches me how to draw her characters. That's what I meant to say. And I'm like,
right.
Cool.
Yeah, no, she's a phenomenal at that.
And I was going to say, you're a fantastic writer, by the way.
Thank you.
I love it. Makes me cry sometimes, though. But
well, good. That means I'm connecting with people. So, yeah. Good.
All right. So, I think we're coming to a close here.
I think so.
For the sake of the people listening.
Yeah.
We're wondering when it's going to end.
This is it. This is it. Those are our takeaways, and we hope that you tune in next week for another healthy dose of awareness.
Yeah, another 2-hour conversation.
Listen, they can pause and come back later. That's what we mean by the pause. Pause and come back later.
You're going to marathon the show, or you're just going to cut it into intervals. This is not your average, you know, poop podcast. You don't just sit on the ball and get it over with. Otherwise you're going to get, you know, hemorrhoids.
And that's who we really are. We're poop podcast
people. We do have to change the name. Poop podcast. All right. So thanks for joining us today.
Yes.
And
thank you.
Yeah. We'll have something next week for you. And I hope you enjoyed us, because we enjoyed you.
Definitely. Bye, Christina.
Bye, Lori.